Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a boat bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went on board and sailed from Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone down below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he'd already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What shall we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault and that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done us and you are pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Thanks be to God.
So the book of Jonah, what's all that about then? Before I sort of launch into this, there's a number of red herrings that I need to kind of lay to rest first before we start. It's not a story about a man that gets swallowed by a fish. Not primarily. It's in there, but it's only kind of in passing. That's not the main message of the book of Jonah. That's not the, there are far deeper questions that Jonah is asking you to think about. What Jonah really is all about is questioning your answers. In other words, the things that you hold to be true, your prejudices, your biases, your glasses that you look at your worldview that you view the world through, it questions you and says, "Have you got that right? Is that true? Is that really what's happening here?" So the first thing to say is that it's more than a story. Don't get kind of sidetracked into just focusing on, hey, you can't believe the stuff that's in the Bible, can you? Because that's the other red herring that's in here. You know, is this supposed to be taken as factual fact? Is this historical? Is this actually a true story, a biography of what really happened to a man all of those years ago? Well, we do know that there was Jonah. 2 Kings talks about Jonah giving a message to the king, Jeroboam, at the time. So he's in there. But whether you take it as being historical fact, that's another red herring. That's not the question that Jonah is really wanting you to explore. I'm not sure that he even had that in the mind when the story got written. Whether it's kind of factual or not, that's kind of... Don't get sidetracked by that kind of question. If you want to take it as fact, you can do. That's fine. But if you want to take it as a story, a metaphor, an allegory, a parable, then you can do that as well. I think by taking it as parable, then it allows you to start asking those questions of yourself and your, you know, as you apply it to your own self. That's always the thing about a parable, is that it questions you, doesn't it? Jesus' parables are like that. And this is like one of Jesus' parables. In fact, it starts off in exactly the same way that some of Jesus' parables starts off. It came to pass. That's literally the first words of the book of Jonah. And it came to pass. It happened. And Jesus starts some of his parables. And it came to pass that a man was walking down the road from Jericho, you know, and there were some robbers jumped on him and whatever. It came to pass. So, I hope I've got rid of a few of the red herrings before we started, all right? So what is it about? I've told you what it's not about. What is it about? I wonder what Jesus would say. If we asked Jesus what the book of Jonah is all about, I wonder what he would have said. Uh-huh. Actually, he tells us. Jesus refers to the book of Jonah. There's a time in Jesus' life when the crowds kind of come to him and sort of saying, "Go on then, Jesus, do one of your magic tricks for us. Impress us. We want to be entertained. We've come to look, you know, and see you. And so give us a sign. Give us a miracle. And we'll be really entertained if you can do a magic trick for us." In the Jesus Christ Superstar, when Jesus is being interviewed by Pilate, there's the line, isn't there, in Pilate's song? "Prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. If you do that for me, then I'll let you go free. Come on, King of the Jews." And so the crowd are wanting him to perform a trick for them, to impress them. And what does Jesus reply? "Get lost. I'm not doing that for you. I'm not here to entertain you." Yeah. "The only sign that I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah," says Jesus. In other words, in the same way that Jonah was dead and buried 3 days in the belly of the whale, not whale, you're going to pick me up, I know, the big fish at the bottom of the ocean, dead, under feet of water. In the same way, 3 days later, he's alive again. "So I," says Jesus, "3 days dead, 6 feet under in the grave, 3 days later, I'm going to be alive again too." You're only going to get the sign of Jonah to prove what I'm talking about. So what's the book of Jonah about? The book of Jonah is about resurrection. Nod at me. It's about new life. It's about second chances. It's about people who foul up, but God picks them up and says, "Have another go at it." Do you want to hear that? Do you need to hear that today? It's about people who are weak, vulnerable, make bad choices, and yet God says, "I love you. I want you to try that again for me, please. Have another go at it now. Yeah, you messed up, but there's new life. There's new hope, there's forgiveness, there's new beginnings, there's second chances. Hallelujah. Our God reigns." And that's really the book of Jonah, so I sit down now at this point, shall I? Okay. I'd said that the 3-point sermon wasn't arise, go, tell. It is, however, a three-point sermon, which is call, courage and consequences. Okay, so call. Call. In other words, Jonah makes an awful lot of mistakes. And I think you're supposed to kind of laugh at him, really. I think it's satirical. Yeah? I think it's irony that you kind of read the story and it's always upside down in Jonah. What you're expecting, that's the humour, what you're expecting, you think, I know how this is going to work. It doesn't. It goes somewhere else. And Jonah's totally upside down book. And the things that you're expecting don't happen the way that you're going to expect them to happen. Things are different. So, having said that, although he makes a mistake, although he gets things wrong, did you watch, when you were a kid growing up, did you watch Alf Garnett? I hated it. I don't think I got it. The idea that actually you're supposed to laugh at his racism. That here is a guy, I think too many people took him too seriously, you know, thought that he was actually, oh, Alf Garnett, he says a lot of good things. No, you're supposed to laugh at him and say, how ridiculous is that? In the same way, I think with Jonah, you're supposed to laugh at his racism, at his ridiculousness. How stupid is he? And having said he makes a mess of things and gets things wrong, like Mr. Bean or something like that, he does get some things right. The first thing that he gets right is that he actually hears God's voice. He hears the call. He hears what God has to say. He hears God saying, arise and go. I've noticed these people in Nineveh and I need you to come talk to them for me, okay? And that's the message that he hears. But hallelujah, he's heard the message. I said at the beginning that maybe one of the ways in which you can tackle the book of Jonah as seeing it as allegory. Allegory means when you see one thing and it stands for something else and you put something else in. So if Jonah is allegory, what does Jonah represent? Jonah represents God's people, us, the church, the people of God. And we are called. We have a calling. Have you heard the call? Have you heard God's voice? Are you listening, people of God, to the message that God wants to communicate to our community? Are you listening? Jonah heard God's call. He listened for it, and he heard it. PMC, are you listening? Have you heard God's voice? What is it that God is calling us to do? What's the message that's on our hearts, that burns within us? You don't have to necessarily use words to communicate that message. Okay? You can communicate in all sorts of different ways. Here's one of the messages that God might be giving to us as a church. I want you to go tell. Arise, get off your backsides and go tell the community. What? What have we got to tell the community around us? That there is a God and he loves you. Now, how are you going to go and tell that? But first of all, have you heard the message? What is that message that we are called upon to tell? Why do we exist in the first place? Now, you know the answer to that. You know what we're here for. You can recite for me our vision statement, our mission statement. We exist to go and make disciples, to go and share the good news with others, to tell others about Jesus, to introduce them to Jesus. That's what the people of God in this place have heard God saying to them over the years. And that's our message, to go and tell people about Jesus. To go and share the love of God with the community around us. We break that down into our four key words of praise, act, belong, grow. Put those in any order you want. They're not in any priority. Praise, act, belong, grow. But it's as we go. We have this vision, I hope, of a church without walls, a church outside the box, a church that longs to go and share the good news of God's love with our community. But have we heard that good news? Are we listening for God's voice? Have we caught the vision of what it is that God wants to say to our community? Church of God, listen. Listen carefully for God's call. Where is it He wants you to go? What is it He wants you to do? What is it that He wants you to say? How does He want you to act in the world around us? So, here's the call. Jonah hears God's voice, but he lacks something. And here's the second C. He lacks courage. He's afraid. I wonder why it is that Jonah doesn't go. He goes in 180 degrees the wrong direction. And instead of heading for Nineveh, he heads towards Tarshish or Spain or wherever it is your translation says. Why does he do that? I think possibly it's because he's afraid. It's not easy stepping outside of your comfort zone, is it? To step out of your sock box, to step outside of what is safe and familiar. It's hard. And maybe he's wondering what kind of response he's likely to get when he goes. When he goes to God's enemies and says, hey, God's got his eye on you. He's watching what you've been doing. By the way, this is in parenthesis. If you look at what the message is that he was given in the first place in chapter 1, verse 2, God says, I want you to go and rise and go to Nineveh and tell them that they caught my attention. I want you to preach against them and tell them that I'm watching them. What's the message that he actually takes in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2? You've got 40 days before God wipes you out. That's slightly different, isn't it? I wonder how he got that message and where that message came from. But that's what he gives. So, he lacks courage because he thinks that when he goes and gives this message, 40 days and you're going to get wiped out, that it's not going to be taken very friendlily. That people are going to kind of say, who are you to say that? And they're going to do all sorts of horrible things to him and kick him and... Who wants that? But yeah, I'm all for an easy life, me, you know. And so Jonah says, I'm not going to do that. I'm scared. I'm afraid. Or maybe there's something slightly more insidious. Insidious? Is that the right word? That's going on underneath the surface. Maybe he's thinking, God, the people that you are asking me to go to aren't nice people. They aren't my people. They aren't the kind of people that I would like to see in my church, thank you very much. I don't want to go and invite them to come to my church. What kind of church is that going to be if they come to my church? I don't want them here. They're not like me, and I'm not like them. And they can go and start their own church, thank you very much, but I don't want them in my church. So I'm not going to go and tell them. Is that what Jonah's afraid of? That if he starts inviting them to come back to his country's going to get changed. And maybe he doesn't want that to happen. And maybe that's why he doesn't go. I've got a feeling that's probably behind it. Because when you get to chapter 4, but that's chapter 4, isn't it? You see, what he lacks isn't necessarily courage. I think you have to be a very brave person to disobey God, don't you? He got courage. He got a courage to say to God, no, thank you. I'm going to go my own way. Now that takes some courage. So maybe it's not courage that he lacks. It's, what did we just sing? Trust and obey. Maybe he doesn't trust God. Maybe he doesn't know that the God of angel armies is always at my side. And when I walk into the lion's den, that's a different prophet, isn't it? But you know what I mean. When I go and confront the people of Nineveh, when I go and walk into danger, I know that the God of angel armies is always by my side. Trust. Trust that when you've heard the message and you've heard God's call, trust that He will give you the strength. Be bold. be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. That when you've got that message, and you know that you've got to go, trust that God will... I love that verse from Proverbs chapter 3. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Isn't that great? But Jonah doesn't. Jonah is not trusting. He's not obeying. He doesn't have the courage to know that whatever faces him, whatever he's going to run into, whatever's in out there in that big bad world out there, whereas I take the message of God's love and I start talking to people about how much God loves them, well, they might not like it. Maybe we're not trusting God enough to know that he will always be there at our side and goes with us too. So hear the call. What is it that God has put on your heart to tell? What is it that God is saying to us? And then have the courage to follow through. And the third C is consequences. There are consequences. The third C? Consequences. There are consequences to everything that we do. Come on, Newton, physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. A body in motion stays in motion. In other words, for every action that you take, for every word that you say, for everything that you do, there's going to be a knock-on effect. There's ripples. So for Jonah to go against what God has said, he's going to find that there's consequences to his actions. You understand this? Now, I'm not saying that this is how the world works. I'm not saying that when you mess up and make a mistake, God throws thunderbolts down in punishment. I'm displeased with you, so boom. That's not the way that the world works, okay? And that's not my God. Is that your God? It might be, I don't know, but, you know, that's not my God, okay? But what I am saying is that if you decide that you don't want to do what God wants you to do, there will be consequences to those actions. Yeah? So, for example, if we take some of the Ten Commandments, you know, if you lie, if you start deceiving other people, if you're into deception, and, you know, have I got any politicians? I want to preach to some politicians now. Yeah. You know, if you're economical with the truth, if you're into spin, if you're into kind of saying one thing, but then a few days later saying completely the opposite, oh, I didn't really mean that, yeah? Then these are the consequences. We're going to have to live with the consequences of those actions. You understand? There will be knock-on effects. The things that you, if you live with, you know, the story that greed is good, which our society gives to us, and if we live our lives according to that, then there will be consequences to that. Because this is how prophecy works. Jonah is a prophet, and we're called upon to be a prophetic people. Hallelujah, as a church. And as a church, we have a prophetic edge, a prophetic voice to our community and to our nation. But what the prophet says is not predict what's going to happen in the future. You know, who's going to win the derby? Or is that already gone? I don't know. The prophet says, if you behave in this way, then these are the consequences. If you disobey God's commands, if you don't live according to the rules of God, then this is what you're heading for: destruction. You're heading for doom. That's kind of naturally what happens. But if you head this way, if you start living by the rule of love, you know, Jesus says, what are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's an even another new commandment I give to you. Love your neighbor as you love one another as I have loved you. Now, if we start living by the rules of love, then these are the consequences. Are you with me? And that's the role of the prophet. Not who wins the 315 at Kempton, but if you carry on gambling, you're likely to lose all your money. That's the role of the prophet. And we have that prophetic voice to our community. What's the message that we're going to... The prophet always says, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is what God has to say to this generation and to these people and to our community. And there are consequences to our actions. But I love God. I love Jesus. I love the way that when you foul up, when you mess up, when you make mistakes, he can still turn it to his glory. There's a lovely bit in this story. Did you see it? When the sailors get hold of Jonah and say, "Who are you? Who are you then?" He says, "I am a Hebrew. You're not. I worship the God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the sky, and I worship God. I worship Yahweh, Jehovah. You don't. Know." And they chuck him in the sea. You know, there you go. And what happens when the storm is calmed? They say, "That God Jehovah is a pretty great God, isn't he? Let's worship him." And so these heathen pagans, they give God worship that Jonah never did. It's upside down, isn't it? Jonah says, "I'm a Hebrew here. I'm a real churchgoer, me. I'm a really committed Christian, me." Well, he doesn't say that, but you're getting where I'm coming from. But it's the pagan heathen sailors who end up giving worship and praise to God, to Yahweh, to Jehovah. And in the end, out of the mess that Jonah has caused, a group of sailors come to worship God. Hallelujah. Now, be careful at this point. I am not saying that we deliberately go out and make a mess of things so that the glory goes to God. I'm not saying that. Paul in Romans says, you know, what's the message then? Should we sin the more so that grace may abound? No, by no means. He actually puts it slightly stronger than that. Come on. Really? No, of course not. But we worship the God, glorious God, who managed to turn our weaknesses into his opportunities so that the glory goes to him. Who manages to take my foul-ups, doesn't that give you confidence? Doesn't that give you confidence to know that when you begin a certain project, even if you make a mess of it, God can still make something out of it? Now, that's not a reason for going in expecting to make a mistake. But you know that God's holding you as you go and can turn a mistake to something glorious. There are consequences to your actions. There are consequences to our decisions as a church. Decisions that were made, say, 20 years ago have knock-on effects now, in this generation, here today. The decisions that were made by ministers and leaders of the church all that time ago have consequences now. Over the years, we've made decisions to support youth work, to employ youth workers. And the result of that, the consequences of that, 20 years on later, are you listening to me? Is that we have probably the most vibrant, lively youth work in the town. There are other churches who would give their eye teeth to be where we are with the children that we've got. And that's not an accident. That didn't just happen. It's the consequences of the decisions that we made over a period of years. There will be consequences to your actions. On July the 8th, we have a big decision to make. The review group will present us with some choices about what we do and where we go forward as a church, about our buildings, about the bridge, and about our youth work. Be careful, because the decisions that we make will have consequences. What is it that God is calling us to do as a church? If Jonah equals PMC, have we heard God's voice? If Jonah equals PMC, having heard the call of God, knowing what it is that God wants us to do, have we got the courage to go and do it? And having the courage to go and do it are we aware of the consequences of our actions if we don't? We're going to be quiet and still for a moment. What is it that God is saying to you today? And the band is going to come and play a song, and we will quietly think about what God is saying to us. Listen for God's voice this morning.